Welcome to our Wednesday evening Bible study. We are still in the book of Revelation, and we are in chapter 20, and I'm just going to go verse by verse, and we're going to look at this and see what the Lord has for us today. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, I want to make a point here that this term, 1,000 years, this is the only chapter that specifies the length of it, but it says it 6 times in this chapter uses the term 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit. Now, this bottomless pit is not to be confused with the lake of fire. It's not the same thing. This bottomless pit is basically just a holding chamber. He says, and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Now, well, I'm not going to speak on that yet till we get a little bit further along. So, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Now, they here would be talking about the church, plus the Old Testament saints. Then he adds another group, says, then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. So that would be the martyrs of the tribulation period, or what we call the tribulation saints, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, when they say they, again, it now it's referring to because they had two groups in the first day, and then they added this group. So all three of these groups, which would be the redeemed of all ages, are going to be involved in this living and reigning with Christ. So we,
mine says they all came to life again and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, yeah. Explain that again, who they all are that came to life again.
Well, the ones that came to life again would be, in this case, the Old Testament saints. They were resurrected at this time.
Okay.
Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talk about the Old Testament saints being resurrected.
Okay.
And then these martyrs are resurrected at this time.
Yeah, okay.
And of course, we already have been.
Right.
Because the church in the rapture was resurrected. Okay.
Yes.
So it's those three groups that are going to be ruling and reigning with Christ.
And they all have to be born again in order to go into the millennial reign.
Correct. And we don't want to confuse the tribulation saints with the people who get through the tribulation. The people that live through the tribulation, who aren't martyred, they are the sheep of the sheep and goats judgment. They go into the millennial kingdom as mortal human beings. And they're not included in this group of saints. The tribulation saints were all killed, all martyred. And they have been resurrected. So we don't want to confuse those two things. Then he says, see, where are we at? But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. Well, this is the fourth time I've seen that term, 1,000 years. So the rest of the dead would be all those who never accepted Christ as their Savior. All those in the Old Testament never followed God, never had faith in God. This was everybody else. This is the first resurrection. Now, this does not apply to the sentence right before it. This applies to the other groups that we just studied. When they say first resurrection and second resurrection, they're not talking about necessarily the timing of the individual, because the church was resurrected at least 7 years before this. They're saying, okay, we've got two resurrections. We've got the resurrection of the saved and the resurrection of the unsaved. Right. And that's how they're doing it. They're just kind of a general thing. Okay. So this is the first resurrection. This is the resurrection of the believers. And the reason they call it first and second is because there's so many years between, 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. It said, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, because mm-hmm. that means that you're saved.
That's right.
Over such, the second death has no power. Now, this second death is spiritual death, mm-hmm. what they're talking about, mm-hmm. spiritual death. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this in other places, and we also see it in one of the parables, where it talks about the people who were given talents or minas, and it varies sometimes. And the Lord rewarded them for what they did with what they were given. Mm-hmm. And he says, well done, I'm going to put you over 5 cities, or well done, we'll put you over 10 cities. That's what that's talking about.
Okay.
Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Now this Gog and Magog has nothing to do with the Gog and Magog war that happens in the middle of the tribulation when Russia and some of the Muslim countries come upon Israel. That's a totally different thing. It's kind of almost like saying, like J. Vernon said, it's almost like saying World War I and World War II.
Okay.
It's just basically their description of a great war, is what they're saying. Now, this whole thing about Satan being bound for 1,000 years and then being released to do his thing, so to speak, it tells you the nature of man. Because these people that make it into the millennial kingdom, they're going to have children, and their children are going to have children, and so forth. And there's going to be a huge population. And these people, just like us today, are going to have decisions to make whether they're going to follow God or not. Also, we know that Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. We are going to be helping him rule and reign. But these people are still going to have sin natures. They're still going to want to sin. Maybe they'll be able to do certain things, but if they do something wrong, they're going to be disciplined for it right away. They're going to be punished for it right away. There's not going to be any corruption from the leaders. There's not going to be that, because the people that are going to be in charge are the people from the church. Right, the Old Testament saints, tribulation saints, they're going to put a stop to it. In other words, they're not going to be able to get away with anything. And that's going to make them so mad, that they can't do that. And they can't say the devil made me do it, because devil's not there.
That's right.
So it shows the nature of man is just evil, outright evil.
Yeah, well, see, now my words put it that Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished.
Right.
So Satan can't tempt them mm-hmm. because he's in a bottomless pit.
Right.
Like he tempts us.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing I thought of when I was reading this, there will be no atheists in the millennium.
Right. Yeah. That
no
makes
atheists.
Sense.
But there's still going to be very, but I mean, there's God. He's going to, you know, Jesus will be right there. Mm-hmm. You know, now there may be people who don't respect Jesus, and there may mm-hmm. be people who say, well, he's not God or whatever. They might try that. But they can't say there's no Jesus. He's right there, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it says, to gather them together to battle, whose number is sand sea. Then they went up on the breadth of the earth. Now this is these people following the devil. Mm-hmm. And they surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, which would be, this would be the earthly Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, this would be God the Father, because Jesus is on earth at that time. So we know it's God the Father who's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like God the Father is looking at Jesus and saying, I got this one. You know, I got it. So then it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Remember, they were put in at the second coming, 1,000 years earlier. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then he says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, I have a reference for that, 2 Peter 3. Most people think that's where this came from, 2 Peter 3.
We were just reading that.
Yeah, 2 Peter 3, verse 10.
What was it? Dennis
finally got this.
Yeah.
Well, this is where he says 1,000 years to the Lord is like 1,000 years is like one.
That's right before. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Mm-hmm. So this is like... Basically, think of it this way. Everything is being purged. Yeah. Because here's Jesus. He's totally holy. And, the earth had been corrupted. Everything had been corrupted from original sin. Now, it had been refurbished. It had been refurbished before the millennial kingdom. It had a lot of cleaning up to do because after all the plagues, there was a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. So it was refurbished before the millennial kingdom started. But it still has 1,000 years of people still being sinful. And then this last rebellion was terrible. So here is Jesus going to judge. And anything that was corrupted has just got to be destroyed.
Yeah.
And so this is all just destroyed. Then there's the judgment. Then there's the recreation. Okay.
Now, do you actually think that the earth is going to be recreated, or he's just going to...
Recreated. Now, the millennial kingdom is being... that's refurnished for the millennial kingdom. And after the millennial kingdom, it says a new heaven and a new earth.
Okay.
And this is destroyed here.
Okay.
And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So we have these books which are going to record all of their works, everything they've done. And then we have the book of life. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Mm-hmm. Now, some people believe that hell or lake of fire, whatever you... They believe that it's the same for everybody. But if that were the case, then what would be... There wouldn't be any use doing this.
That's right.
You know, everybody just go and have the same thing.
Yeah.
And so they're judged according to their works by things written in the books. Then the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, which just means everybody. Mm-hmm. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, meaning everybody, all these people, all of them, everybody that's at the Great White Throne Judgment, they're all going to eventually wind up in the lake of fire. Now, how that lake of fire, how it differentiates between people, how it punishes them on different levels, I have no idea. All I know is that's what the scripture says, it's a lake of fire. It's obviously not totally destructive because we know they're not destroyed. We know that, it's a suffering kind of a thing.
Torment.
And there's torment, but there's different levels of it.
Yeah.
This is the second death. It's spiritual death. Now, what makes it spiritual death is that they are separated from God. Mm-hmm. That makes it spiritual death. They are eternally separated from God. Mm-hmm. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So hell is like a holding place now.
Yeah, I think there's still suffering, but yeah.
So to me, the lake of fire is even going to be worse.
Yeah, I mean, you think of the parable in Luke.
Yes.
You know, the rich man Lazarus, and he's being tormented. Mm-hmm. And there was at least fire in that area because he was so hot and he wanted to drink really bad, you know. Mm-hmm. So really, this chapter doesn't actually talk about the millennial kingdom and how it's going to be at all. It just tells how it got started. It picks up right at the end of the second coming, right after Jesus has won the battle. It picks up there where Satan is defeated and cast into the bottomless pit. And it talks about the 1,000 years. And then it goes forward 1,000 years and talks about what happens at the end. And then in chapter 21, it's going to go back. There's descriptions here of a new heaven and a new earth. The descriptions here, the new Jerusalem. And there's times when you have to look at it and say, okay, are we talking about the new heaven, new earth, or are we talking about the millennial kingdom? And it kind of flips back and forth a little bit in 21 and 22. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we are going to look at is this new Jerusalem, because I've been confused about that before, because some people will say, well, we don't see the new Jerusalem until after the millennial kingdom. Then other people say, no, the new Jerusalem is there during the millennial kingdom, but it's hovering. It's yeah, in space. It's hovering. And then after the millennial kingdom, it comes down to earth.
Well, that isn't that how you told us before, that we can go
back and forth?
We can go back and forth like a speed of light, like Christ did.
His ability to do that, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in Matthew 14:6, or is it John? No, it's John. John 14:6, excuse me. You know, it's where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where that is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that even when a Christian dies right now, I think that they're going to go to the New Jerusalem. I think... let's see, where does he say that?
Well, they won't have the glorified body yet, though, will they?
Not till the rapture of the church will they have the glorified body. Whether they need a glorified body to be in a new Jerusalem, I don't know. And see, that's kind of a gray area, because you've got what we always think of as heaven, and then you've got the new Jerusalem, which is exclusively the home of the church. All the scholars agree with that. The New Jerusalem is exclusively the home of the church.
Oh, well, the church ain't been raptured yet, so I'm going to use my sister. She's in heaven, I think. You know, like the thing in Luke 16.
Well, I've always thought that too, but now I'm not so sure when you look at John 14, because he says, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Well, I have rapture there, and now, and of course, I know you probably have learned more.
It's also rapture. It's also rapture, but what I'm saying here is that right after, you know, the rapture of the church, then they're going to go into it. I don't know. It's kind of a gray area. I see exactly what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, and I've kind of always thought that, too. That,
well, because we haven't been raptured out yet, because, you know, I remember 1 Thessalonians.
But the ones that have already died... And we talked about having that they would have temporary bodies. Remember, mm-hmm. we talked about that.
Right.
So
they couldn't have their glorified bodies yet if they're in a temporary body.
But
right?
But the question is, I guess, and I don't know the answer, but the question is, do you need a glorified body to be in the New Jerusalem?
Well, God, Jesus was. Jesus had his glorified body.
Right. But still, I mean, that doesn't... it says
I
here.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll find out. Either place is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be better than what we got now.
Yeah.
But we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the New Jerusalem. We're going to look at how there's going to be people on earth, because he says he's creating a new heaven and a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be looking at the healing of the nations and how that's going to work out and all this. And. You can't be dogmatic. It's a lot of it's speculation. And sometimes, like I say, it's really hard when you look at these passages and you try to figure out, okay, which one is he talking about now? Because in this book of Revelation, there's a lot of going back and giving you detail. Just like in 20, it skips 1,000 years, but then it goes back. And then you've got prophecies where it says the lion will lay down with the lamb. There won't be any animals killing each other, and there won't be all that, and it's going to be totally different and all that. I was reading about that. I think it was in J. Vernon's book. He was talking how P.T. Barnum, who had the, what would you call it? It was like a circus type thing. And he had this display, and he called it something about millennial, something about the millennium. And he had tigers, and he had lions, and he had a lamb in there. And they were just sitting there, and they weren't, the cats weren't bothering the lamb when people would look at it. And some preachers were there, and they said, well, that's amazing. They said, how does that work out? And he says, well, aside from having to replenish the lamb, it does pretty good.
So
they won't have to worry about that millennial kingdom. So there's a lot of prophecies in the Old Testament about the millennial kingdom. But here in 21 and 22, like I say, we're trying to figure out which is which. And then it lays out the dimensions of the New Jerusalem, which is just absolutely incredible. But somebody figured out that the area of the New Jerusalem will be many, many times the entire surface area of the earth. The entire surface area of the earth, because it's so high.
I know, I can't. No, see, I can't.
No, I mean, I don't know anybody can really conceive it. Yeah.
I don't.
I mean, when you conceive that you fly about 6 miles up, and then you think 1,500 miles up.
I can't understand the dimensions.
No.
My brain can't grasp it.
But one day we will.
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this study. It's really getting exciting. There's a lot of things that we can know and a lot of things we're just not sure of, but we know that you'll reveal it to us one day. And we know that you reveal to us those things we need to know. And Lord, we pray that more people will be curious about this, because it's where we're going, Lord. When people go on vacation, they want to find out all about where they're going. And yet so many people don't seem to care, and even though the true Christians will be spending eternity in these areas. And we just pray that more people can become interested in this, and that we can learn from it, so that when they have questions, that we can either answer their questions or show them an area where they can read it and decide for themselves. But we pray that this will make us better Christians, and the fact that it tells us something about where we're going and gets us excited about it. In Jesus' name. Amen.